Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
This is Bronco Tuesday, taking a look at Boise State Athletics with coaches and players. Now here's Bob Beeler, Chris Walton, and Paul Jay on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
All right, top of the morning, volleyball in the house on this Tuesday morning. Coach Sean Garris is with us, along with Bob Beeler. And Sean, wow, you guys have been doing pretty good. You have swept four in a row, beat Fresno, San Jose, Utah State, and Air Force, won six out of your last seven, and both players of the week this week. You're doing pretty well.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me in this morning. And, yeah, the girls are playing really well right now. We're feeling very confident about finishing strong throughout the rest of the Mountain West season. And players are healthy. So we're having really competitive practices every day now. People keep improving midseason, which is what you want to see.
Well, let's talk about the two ladies that were named the Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week. Maddie, I guess, was the name.
Yes.
Maddie with a Y. Maddie O'Donnell was the Offensive Player of the Week. Maddie Osborne with an I was the Defensive Player of the Week. What did they do to get those awards?
Well, I'm really, really happy that the conference recognized both of them. Maddie O'Donnell has been a four-year starter for us and an all-conference player, and this is her first ever weekly award. So that was really cool to see. She was huge for us on the road trip. Caitlin Oliver was a little under the weather, not playing great, and Maddie really stepped up and performed well in that middle blocker position. And Maddie Osborne has been winning Defensive Player of the Award honors for 2 years in a row regularly. It's starting to be the Maddie Osborne Award. But she's been really consistent on the defensive end for us. She's, again, another one of those players that just keeps improving, keeps adding things to her game. And I think she's understanding a little bit more tactically about how other teams are going to go after us, and she's responding really well.
You need to get some T-shirts made. It's a Maddie world.
Yeah, we have three Maddies on our team, actually.
Do
we have
you really? Maddie world.
Yeah, Big Maddie is the senior, Little Maddie is the junior, and Mini Maddie is the freshman.
Mini Maddie.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. How do you feel about where your team is these days after the loss to Nevada at home, which was, you know, are they the cream of the crop so far in conference?
Nevada's good. They're one game behind us in the standings. They're at 5-3, but I think Nevada's a really tough matchup for us. What they do is hard for us to stop. We've got an undersized setter, Jamie Lee Bolda, in the front row. She's only about 5'3", 5'4", not a big blocker. And Nevada sets to the outside a lot, so that matchup is challenging for us. I don't think we had our best that day. I think some people overlooked them, and we learned a lesson from that with a loss. But we've been a lot better since then, and we have a rematch at Nevada next Thursday, so hopefully we can get him back. But I'm really proud of where the team is right now. The conference is good. I was telling Bob earlier that there are six teams in the top 80 in the RPI, so there's a lot of tough matches every week in conference. And that Nevada team is much improved, and they came in and got a really big win in Boise, and they also got a big win last week at Wyoming. So they're for real. It's not a great loss. I mean, no loss is great, but they're not a bad team at all.
Well, just kind of giving everybody an idea of how things stand here, Paul Jay. Colorado State is 7-0, UNLV 7-1, Boise State 6-2, Wyoming is 5-2, Nevada, San Diego State 5-3. So it is very tight right now with what, about 40% of the season left?
So we've played halfway through at this point, but we have two teams we only play once, which we hold till the end of the year. So we're starting the second round this week with the rematches, now this time at home against New Mexico and UNLV.
And the New Mexico game, because of the football game on Thursday at 8:15, has been moved up. So get to the arena early, get to the volleyball, then you can go across the football. You're going to start at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a great point. 5 o'clock start in Bronco Gym, football against BYU later in the evening. So I think it's going to be a really exciting time on campus. And New Mexico's a quality opponent. Their record is down, but it's a good program year in and year out. And they just got back one of their stud seniors coming back off of a knee injury, and she played really well. They beat New Mexico State, their in-state rival, on Sunday. So I expect quite a battle on Thursday, and we really want to keep the momentum going into that rematch with a UNLV team that was ranked 17 in the RPI. So a chance for us to get a significant win, which is important when you're building your resume for the NCAA tournament.
And with no football on Saturday, you get the number two team in the conference, UNLV, also here at home. So another great chance to come on out and see the girls. What time does that game start?
Two o'clock
Saturday. Perfect. Huge game.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon in natural grass. Oh, wait a minute. indoors. That's good. So the schedule's kind of falling your way this week, and a great opportunity for fans to come on out.
Yeah, I agree. We're really excited with this homestand. We talked about last week just taking it one match at a time, and if we can get through that road trip with San Jose and Fresno unscathed, we'll be hot and ready for these next opponents, and we played great last weekend. So, yeah, it's going to be fun this week.
What's been the big difference in this 4-0 streak? I mean, not only are you 4-0, but 4-0 winning 3-0 in every match.
I think that our setter, Jamie, keeps improving a lot. We had a rough match against Nevada. I don't think her and I were on the same page about what we wanted to do tactically. We had to make some changes mid-match to try to adjust to what they were doing. And we looked rattled and kind of lost her composure a little bit in that loss, but she's been great since then. And it's not just her performance during the game. It's how she prepares. It's how focused she is and what she does as a leader. Because like it or not, if you're in that setter position, you are looked at as a leader. And that's something that I think she's embraced a little bit more after the tough lessons that you get from losses. So I think she's improved a lot. And even against winning at Air Force, winning at San Jose, those aren't the top teams in our conference. But those are the matches we were susceptible to lose a month ago when we weren't focused. And I think she's done a good job of keeping everybody focused, including herself.
Okay, we're talking with volleyball. Coach Sean Garris is here. It's 8:45.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
All right, we're back talking volleyball today. The two teams you get this weekend, New Mexico, UNLV. You lost to UNLV in Vegas 3-1 and beat New Mexico in five sets in Albuquerque. So you got your work cut out for you this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. So UNLV was the first match of the conference season, and during that match, our freshman right side, Janelle Wally, went down with a back injury that I think really hurt our chances of coming back and stealing that match down there. But she's back, and she's healthy now. At New Mexico, we played without Janelle Wally completely, had to change our lineup around, and we're fortunate to get out of there with a five-set win, but New Mexico was without one of their all-conference players. So I really feel like you got two good matchups this week against two physical teams, but matches that we feel like we can win and that we should win this week.
When you look at your roster, and I've come out the last several years, a lot of the same faces.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be nice to be able to put Maddie O'Donnell, Sierra Noble. I mean, you've got a core team that's been here quite a while.
We had a couple really good recruiting classes in a row that were playing as underclassmen, and now they're playing as upperclassmen with a lot of experience and a lot of familiarity with each other. Yeah, Maddie O'Donnell is the only senior on the team, but we've got two redshirt juniors, you know, that have been around for a long time and that are both doing a great job for us. So, yeah, we're an experienced group, and I think that's why we were picked so high in the preseason. Like, everybody knows who we are. We dominated the preseason rankings within the conference, the three all-conference preseason players, because they're all returning all-conference players. And they're playing great, and they're getting healthier, especially Sierra. Sierra was battling some nagging injuries early in the year, but she looks great. She's training hard right now, and I know she's chomping at the bit to get back at UNLV.
How does your front line compare with the conference and nationally? Because when I come out there and watch, you got O'Donnell, you got Caitlin Oliver, who we haven't mentioned yet, and Sierra Noble. That's a pretty formidable front.
Yeah, I think we're as physical as any team in the Mountain West and probably match up pretty well against the bigger conference teams when you just look at the size and the talent of those kids. But it's putting it all together and putting a system in place that fits their strengths. And that's been the challenge for us this year. When you change setters, when you change that person that's distributing the ball and creating those matchups, they have to really be on the same page and understand everybody else's strengths. And we were a little hot and cold with that early in the year and weren't able to get some of the big wins we wanted to get in preseason because you're just bringing along a new setter. But I feel like everybody's on the same page right now. We are really confident in who we are and how we're going to attack the opponent.
Don't have to go to Fort Collins this year against the number one team in the conference. Good thing or a bad thing?
Right now, I wish we were playing them twice because what we're looking for is to strengthen our resume when it comes to the NCAA tournament, and you need matches against top 50 teams and wins. And that's a top 50 team that we don't get to play a second time. And then the Wyoming team is a good team, doesn't come to Boise. and that's another opportunity for a big win at home. So I'm not a huge fan of the unbalanced schedule that we have where we leave two games out there. I also don't like that we don't have a conference tournament in volleyball. And so if you have an unbalanced schedule and no conference tournament, you could be sending the team that might not be the best to the tournament. Now, it could work out in our favor as well. You know, only playing top teams once means maybe we can have a cleaner record. But if we don't win the conference outright, it's going to hurt our chances of making NCAAs.
Sean, how do they decide who misses? Is it a rotation thing, or is it drawn out of a hat?
Yeah, it's a rotation thing. And this year, the odd team out of the mix is Utah State. So when you play your travel partner, you play Utah State, and then you just leave these two matches that you don't play till the end of the season. So we will have played everybody in the conference twice and before we play Colorado State and Wyoming once. And since those are two other very formidable teams, it's really interesting in the standings where everybody's at. Like UNLV will have played home and away against Colorado State before we play once against Colorado State. So that's really interesting, and it just happens to be three of the best maybe four teams in the conference.
It would seem to me that it would be better to put that week in the middle.
That would make a lot of sense, but I don't. You know how this goes. Yeah. We don't always do the smartest things.
Yeah, true. Well, good luck this weekend. Thursday against New Mexico, Saturday against UNLV, and as Bob said, you can watch the New Mexico match and walk across the parking lot to the football game, and then Saturday with no football, 2 o'clock start against UNLV.
Yeah, that's right. I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come in and talk about volleyball. I do think this is a big week, and we hope to see some new fans out in the stands.
All right, thanks, Sean.
Thanks. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos. KBOI News Time, 8:53.
KBOI.
All right, we are back. It's 8:55, and coaches show tomorrow night, but not here.
No, it's going to be only on 93.1 FM, KTIK, the FM side of the ticket, because the debate's going to be heard here. So if you're looking for Coach Harsin Weekly, it's a different day this week. It's Wednesday, because Thursday night is the football game with BYU, but it's also only on 93.1 FM.
And if you're out there 100 miles away, 120 miles away, and can't get KTIK, blame Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Blame those two guys.
Or go online.
And then the ball game, of course, our coverage will start 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday, giving Shellman another day off. I don't know, that guy's only working like 4 days a week every week. And then pregame show starts with you and Cavender at 7?
7 o'clock.
And
kickoff hopefully somewhere around 8:15, 8:20.
In there somewhere.
It'll be better. I think it's going to be a big game. I think it's going to be the toughest game of the year physically as quality opponent. New coach Satake in there for BYU, and I think it's taken him a few weeks both to learn the ropes as a new head coach and to get his team playing the way he wants. They play a lot of close games, but they've won three in a row.
Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, of course, on offense, and the front seven on defense is monstrous. Mm-hmm. Huge, very quick. So Boise State's going to have everybody's had trouble running against BYU. Be interesting to see how BSU does. All right, thanks, Bobby. It's 8:56. Idaho Talks Live coming up next. We'll tell you how much money you're not getting if you're on Social Security this year. See you in a few.
Talking about it.
It's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
All right, KBOI News Time 9:06. Thanks to Boise State, Sean Garrison, Bob Buehler. For the last half hour, Uncle Sam giveth and Uncle Sam taketh away. Now, I'm getting Social Security because I'm old enough to work, get Social Security, do all that stuff, right?
Right.
All right? So I'm getting a raise, Chris. I may not be in here on Monday.
Yeah, but your raise is what, $3 or $4 a year or maybe, for a month?
Maybe five.
$3 or $4 a month, I think, is the raise that Social Security's and getting next year. This year, there was no raise at all.
None. And the nation's 65 million Social Security beneficiaries will receive a 0.3% cost of living adjustment to their monthly checks
and how,
in 2017.
How can that be called a cost of living adjustment? I mean, it's not
good
a
point.
0.3% is not a cola.
No, it's not. Not at all. Especially, you know, as I said yesterday with the worst orange crop in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The government announced this morning the 0.3%. This is not a 3%.
No, this is 0.3%.
This is 0.3%. It means the average retired beneficiary's check will rise about $5 in 2017.
You can go to an inexpensive place and have lunch one more day a month.
Costco. You can get...
Oh, yeah, okay, Costco.
Now, you and your wife can go to Costco and get a hot dog
and
a Coke for a buck and a half.
I've told you for...
So there you go.
I've told you for years, Costco is one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah. You ought to see them down in Arizona. Noon hour.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in there without gray hair. And they're all eating those hot dogs and Polish sausages and slices of pizza and those pink little thing. What are they? Raspberry zippies. And then they're gone. And by 1 o'clock, they're taking naps.
Yeah. And $1.50 for a hot dog and soda.
Yeah. So you could actually...
You could even treat someone to lunch.
You could take three of you on your $5 raise. Except you have to pay taxes. Or do you? I don't know. Pay taxes. Yeah, you do have to pay taxes.
Mm-hmm. You never get everything.
Some states don't tax Social Security. Some do. And Idaho would be one of the some do's. Many current Medicare beneficiaries won't be able to spend any of the extra money. Instead, they'll likely have to send their COLA straight back to Uncle Sam to cover higher Medicare Part B premiums.
See?
There you go.
It's not really
forget Costco. We're not going.
It's not really a cost of living adjustment. It's like sending somebody a letter saying, "Hey, don't buy so much stuff next year."
Yeah, we're not going to Costco. Almost a third of Medicare's 56 million.
There's a cheaper brand of lettuce.
Wow. Listen to this.
Sorry.
Almost a third of Medicare's 56 million beneficiaries could see their premiums jump 22% next year. Well, don't worry. You got a 1% raise in your. You kidding me?
And that's where it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, if you're going to cost it, I mean, if you're going to call it something, just call it a minimum raise, or you know. But you can't really call it a cost of living adjustment.
Those unlucky 30% of beneficiaries include people enrolling in Part B for the first time in 2017. People who are on Medicare but who aren't currently taking Social Security benefits. And current enrollees who pay an income-related higher premium. Not sure what that means. I am so confused about whether to take this Part B. And we received a thing, you probably saw it, they sent out to all the employees here at Cumulus on whether or not you want Medicare to pay for your prescriptions or if you want to pay for... I read that thing four times. I have no idea what it says. I have no idea what it says.
So it gave you two alternatives and then didn't tell you which one was better.
Because I pay, because I'm stupid, I pay my $100 and whatever a month for Medicare, but I'm not on Medicare. I've never taken Medicare. I'm just throwing my money in the pot. And it, part of the thing that we got said, for every month that you don't enroll that you're eligible, it raises 1%. Well, I've been eligible for 6 years. Or 9 years, or whatever it is. So, you know, like I'll be paying...
So that's what, 72 or more percent?
Then. Yeah, 72% more than... I'll never be able to quit working.
Oh, well.
The remaining 70% of Medicare beneficiaries now paying $104.90 a month could see a small increase in Part B premiums. That might be me, because that's what I pay a month. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services make that projection. See, now I'm getting into stuff I don't understand now. Part B deductibles also expected to rise to $204, up from $165 this year. That's a chunk. CMS expected to disclose Part B premiums later.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But again, you've got that 0.3% raise, which, as we pointed out before, is about $5 a month.
Yeah. Looking back in history at Social Security increases, so we got 0.3% this year. That's next year.
Next year. Nothing this year.
Or 2017. No raise in 16 this year. No raise in 15 last year. And then there were small raises, say around 1 to 2% in 12, 13, 14, a 3% raise in 15, in 11.
In a single year, if the cost of living doubled, the government would still inform you that Social Security was getting like 0.4% update. You know?
They had a big adjustment back in 2008, 5.8%. The next 2 years, nothing. Then 3%, and then down around 1.5%. Then 2 years of nothing, and 0.3% this year. So enjoy it. Enjoy your extra money. You could buy. You could go out and buy one cigarette a month. What are cigarettes? About 30 cents a piece now, right? Something like that. 50 cents. 50 cents a buck. No, it's not $20 a pack.
I think you can buy enough. I think you can buy enough nicotine to increase your odds of lung cancer by 0.3%.
KBOI News Time 9:15.
This is Idaho Talks Live today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
I'm trying my headphones here, so. People on fixed incomes getting 0.3% of a raise
in Social Security.
While U.S. consumer prices rose in September because the cost of gasoline and the cost of rents surged, suggesting a steady buildup of inflation pressures that could keep the Federal Reserve on track to raise interest rates in December. Now, I got to give the KBOI rewards code, SMOKE, S-M-O-K-E, SMOKE. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter SMOKE, and earn today's 5,000 rewards points. So here's the deal. The Federal Reserve going to raise interest on money you borrow, right?
Yeah.
Are they going to raise interest on money savings, et cetera?
When they raise the interest, no, it's probably not going to work that way.
No,
when they raise the interest rates, essentially that's just the interest that legally banks can borrow from each other.
Right. The Labor Department said today, this morning, its consumer price index increased 0.3% last month, the exact same as the Social Security rate.
However, that's
for
the
one
first,
month.
Again, that's for 1 month, and the Social Security raise was the first one in 3 years.
Yeah. After rising 0.2% in August, in the 12 months through September of last year, the CPI accelerated 1.5%. That's the biggest year-on-year increase since 2014.
And see, that normally, in that case, then probably should be the raise in the rate for Social Security, but the country probably can't afford that.
Yeah. Economists had forecast the CPI raising exactly what it did, 0.3% last month, and jumping 1.5% from a year ago. Underlying inflation showed signs of moderating amid a slowdown in the price increases. But there's never a decrease. You ever notice that?
Yeah, rarely.
It's a slowdown in increases in healthcare after recent robust gains.
There are industries where things start going poorly and they lower the prices, you know, as a last desperate move.
Yeah. The government revised prices for prescription drugs from May through August this year as incorrect data had been used to calculate price changes. So-called core CPI, cost of living percentage, which strips out food and energy costs, gained 0.1% last month, after climbing 0.3% in August. So we're talking itsy-bitsy stuff here. The retreat and the monthly core CPI reading will do little to change the view that the Fed will raise interest rates at its December meeting.
However, it's been a while since they've done that.
Yeah. What kind of an effect does that have on us? So if we want to borrow money from a bank, is that the deal?
No, it's the banks borrowing money from each other.
Each other, right.
However, eventually it does seep into everything else. I mean, that's why it kind of controls.
Trickle up theory.
Yeah, that's why it's an important thing for the economy. But, just the on that day when they change it, it doesn't make that big of a difference to us.
Yeah.
But over time, people vacuum your money out of your pocket. That's a good mental image for you.
Yeah, pay off your credit cards every month if you can, if that's a possibility, if that's in play. A lot of your credit, and check the rate on your credit card. A lot of people paying 24%, 32%. Don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. That you're giving your money away.
True.
You're giving your money away.
Now, there are a certain number of people who have high credit card debt, and they don't mind it so much because they didn't have any money to give away in the first place.
That's true, and there's a bankruptcy down the road, so they don't care. But then the next credit card they get will be at 48%.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if there is an upper limit on what you can charge, but the payday loan places, some of those were way up near 50%. Mm-hmm. That's can't do it.
Well, and those places
can't have money to do
those
that.
Places tend to be predatory, and they tend to be used only by people who are desperate for a little bit of money in a short period of time.
Yeah, exactly. For a short period of time. Well, I'll pay it back in 2 weeks, and then you better, because if you don't, you got that interest rate forever. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jay, and Chris talking money today on Idaho Talks Live. Money, 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 money.
Money.
A lot of people making more. I was one of the guys, and I think you have been too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was first breaking into radio, didn't pay very much money. So I called the races at the racetrack.
You augmented.
Did the Boise State play-by-play.
Yeah.
And did all of the commercials for a big furniture store in the Valley. So basically I had four jobs.
Now, for those of you who think all those things sound fun, they kind of are, but they're also work, and you do have to work hard and be someplace at the right time, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so once the horse races started in May, I didn't get a day off unless I took a week of vacation while I worked my other three jobs. I just didn't get a day off from May until the September, and then I'd have ball games on Saturdays, so a two-day weekend to me was like a vacation.
Yeah.
But everything that I did, I liked to do, which is the only way you can do something like that.
Now,
but apparently it's a trend now that people are working way more than one job.
Yeah. Well, I remember I started, starting out, I started working here in September of 1987, and I remember my first vacation because it was August of 1992.
Yeah.
Just a little less than 5 hours or 5 years later.
Yeah.
But many Americans who struggled to find a job several years ago are now juggling two or three.
Yeah.
The number of multiple job holders hit an 8-year high last month as several forces reshape the labor market. Many workers are seeking extra income as wages are inching up. Job openings are near record levels, and the burgeoning gig economy is putting a premium on freelance work and short-term projects.
Yeah.
Apparently, nobody needs full-time workers anymore. 49-year-old.
Well, they can't afford to pay for insurance, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, for everyone,
full-time workers get.
49-year-old Michael Alfaro of Coloma, Michigan, toils full-time as an executive customer service representative for an appliance manufacturer. Sometimes they call those salespeople.
Right.
And on most evenings and some weekends, he works the late shift, 6 to 10 or 4 p.m. to midnight. in the electronics department of a local department store.
4 p.m. to midnight, huh?
Where he's also probably a customer service representative, and sometimes they used to call those clerks.
Yep.
Alfaro decided to take the gig last November to whittle down about $37,000 in debt.
There you go.
Including credit cards and student loans, and also a couple of personal loans that he probably took out to pay some of the credit cards. But he also was spurred by the struggles of area retailers and other businesses to find employees. It encouraged me, he said. The ranks of multiple job holders jumped by 300,000 last month to 7.8 million, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Moonlighters represent 5.2% of all those employed, up from 4.9% in September of 2015. And that's a pretty large jump, 0.9%.
Huge jump.
Monthly data can be volatile, but the totals through the first 9 months of 2016 have averaged 7.5 million, nearly 300,000 higher than the figures about a year ago. It is symptomatic of a tight labor market and the fact that you have so many job openings, according to Mark Zandi, who is the chief economist at Moody's Analytics. It means people who want to work are able to find jobs.
Yeah.
Now, even during times when the economy has been bad, with the exception of probably the 1930s.
Right. The Great Depression.
There were always people who told you, I'm sure when you were a kid, that, hey, if you want a job, you can certainly have one.
Yep.
You know, if you're willing to do anything, you can always get a job. Well, and sometimes that's sort of true.
Yeah, but sometimes the jobs don't.
Well, yeah.
Pay
sometimes
well.
Sometimes the jobs don't pay well enough for you to even make the rent.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to find something that does, or find two or three jobs like people are doing.
Yep. And the problem with that is, as you well know, is that mm-hmm. if you have two or three jobs, you probably don't have a full-time job.
I
was one of the lucky ones, so I got insurance, et cetera, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But chances are, I mean, if the only jobs you can find are part-time jobs and you have more than one, you don't have any benefits at all.
Yeah.
So you will have to buy your own health insurance.
Yeah.
Well, and now, of course, you do have to buy your own health insurance.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day about student loans. And, it was a guy who used to own a store in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And what students do with the money.
Yeah.
And it ain't to pay for school costs.
Is it just to have money?
Yeah.
While they're in school?
Yeah.
Well, I knew some guys who did that, too.
They buy cars, they go on vacations.
At the time, it really confused me because these guys in the dorm.
Live in penthouses?
I think when I was a freshman, I lived in the dormitory, and these guys were so excited because they said, we're getting our student loan. They approved my student loan.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, you're pretty excited about a loan. I can see where you'd be excited about a grant. But, you know, a loan, you have to pay back. And then what was interesting is these two guys were so excited. And the next day they had all new clothes and they both had little mini bikes.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you know what? I bet that's not what the loans are designed for.
Yeah. We'll talk about what students are spending their money on.
Okay.
That doesn't involve school at all. It's 9:44.
A local Optimus football coach accused of assaulting a player. We have a follow-up on that story coming up at the top of the hour, along with other local news. Right now, back to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. 4 of 5 college students are taking a page from Stephen Covey's playbook, beginning with the end in mind as they pick schools they can afford.
Seven Habits of Highly Successful People.
Yeah, and majors in high-paying disciplines, but it's the stuff in the middle that's landing many in financial hot water. My daughter graduated last year from college, and she went through this with a lot of her people that went to school with her.
Mm-hmm.
Not uncommon. She's several people, over $100,000 in student debt.
Wow.
About half the students blow some of their school loan money on non-educational expenses. 3% spend it on drugs and alcohol.
You mean illegal drugs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
According to a new student loan hero survey.
That would be a good explanation for somebody. Well, we need a record of what you spent your student loan on.
Yeah.
Okay, cocaine and marijuana and
a handful.
I got some heroin.
3%.
And then for some reason, I ran out of money.
Yeah. 3% pumped their loan money into vacations.
Wow.
13% ate all their meals at restaurants. 15%, these are your boys, bought clothes.
Yay.
And 19% used it for car payments and other auto expenses.
Those are also my friends.
Yeah. The greatest share, 41%, spent loan funds on monthly bills like mobile phones.
You know, I hadn't even thought about that. You know, I think back to being in college, and we didn't have cell phones.
Nope.
And we didn't need Wi-Fi.
Nope.
And, you know, nobody had satellite programming and stuff like that. Well, hardly anybody, when I was in college, hardly anybody had a TV even, because nobody cared.
And we wore blue jeans and sweatshirts in the winter, blue jeans and T-shirts in the summer.
Boy, there were fewer expenses back then.
Yeah, seemed to be. Car payments? Did you have a car when you were in college?
I did.
So did I.
I didn't have
car
payments.
I had a 1953 Nash Ambassador.
Oh.
And when you turned right, the left front door would come open.
Good to know.
So you had to.
Especially considering
that. Basically had to hold on.
Considering that's where the driver was sitting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, turn to the right. Can't turn to the right.
They're justifying
it. Let me just go left three times.
Yeah. 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 Like a, left's not, that's the wrong way, though. You always want to turn right. Follow a FedEx truck.
Well, they say two wrongs don't make a right, but three lefts do.
Yeah. They're justifying it because of future income, said Andrew Joswet, CEO of Student Loan Hero. They're thinking, this is the cost of doing business. This is my overhead.
Yeah, this is just the way it is.
Yeah. In other words, some students believe once they earn their degree and clinch that high-paying job, their loan payments will be chump change. No. So you get, say you got.
Funny how loan payments and chump change never go together.
Yeah. Say you got $150,000 in student loans.
Yeah.
It's a house payment.
Yeah.
It's a freaking house payment.
Yeah, well, it is.
Yeah. The loan money is up and accrues interest. The average 2016 grad carries away $37,000. I owed $740.
Now, there are probably.
Of course, the times were different then.
There probably are plenty of people who are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine making the equivalent of a house payment every month for years?
For nothing. Well, for your education.
And then realizing that you don't own what you're paying for.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
And you're not going to ever have any equity or anything in what you're paying for. You're just paying for something that's gone now.
Yeah. Students need to understand their debt can haunt them for years, says Betty Mayotte, Director of Consumer Outreach for American Student Assistance.
Mm-hmm.
If you live like a lawyer when you're a student, you'll live like a student when you're a lawyer. I like that.
I do. I like that one, too.
I'm going to have a T-shirt made. No, I'm not. Might, though.
Well, I've known guys who, you know, who became doctors and lawyers, and they could pinpoint a date that was usually far off in the future when they were going to break even and start making money.
Remember the places you lived when you were in college?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Basements, attics.
And the places other people lived, too. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And everybody had, like, one room with, you know, with a bathroom in it somewhere. Yeah. And, you know.
Hey, wow, they just redecorated this place 27 years ago.
Now they're moving into townhouses and stuff. Imagine.
Well, that would explain the debt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Students should imagine their total debt in terms of monthly payments, a more concrete figure than the total sum with a row of zeros lined up. 9 out of 10 students surveyed follow their passion. 80% of students switch majors, a potentially costly move because it sometimes adds years.
I had a friend who moved into what was supposed to be a furnished apartment.
Yeah.
It was. It had a cot, a card table, and a folding chair.
Mm-hmm. I knew a guy who had lawn furniture.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a patio table and,
but, I mean, this
and
guy,
four
I mean,
lawn chairs.
Part of his rent paid for the cot, the card table, and the folding chair.
Yeah. Nice. So it wasn't his. Came with the place.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a basement apartment in the North End, and at the time, I think the sewer used to back up.
Oh, that's not good.
I don't want to say daily.
No.
But that's what it was.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good. Well, anyway.
As I recall, he liked to get away for the weekend.
Yeah. People live pretty good for 4 years and then spend 20 years paying for it.
Yeah.
If they're lucky. And, you know, we had all of these stories. Remember last spring how nobody could find a job?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Then what do you do? I guess you can delay it. I don't know how long you can delay starting to pay back student loans for a period of time. I don't know.
Now, there are people out there, every time we tell a story about how difficult it is to find jobs and how there aren't any this and there aren't any that, there are always people who write me and say you can find a job if you base everything you do on competition. In other words, in order for you to find a job, you have to be better than the other people looking for a job.
It's kind of true.
And they say when you do, you know, the cream rises to the top, you're doing fine.
What if you're not the cream?
Well, and see, that's the problem. It's about 90% of everybody doesn't qualify as cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're kind of just, you know, curds.
Yeah.
And all these curds are in the way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And my daughter, who I think is pretty sharp, of course, I'm her dad. I'm supposed to think that.
Well, she got a job.
Yeah.
And a good job.
But it took her 9 months.
Well, 9 months, okay.
Yeah. But to find a really good job.
But we're talking an A student here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the guy who squeezed by with a 2.1, I almost said earned run average, GPA, 2.1 earned run average would be pretty good.
Yeah, you'd be making a lot more money with that.
Yeah. You know, the guy that, you know.
It's Clayton Kershaw money.
People need to learn how to use money. Especially kids. Man, they get in big trouble. Something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next. We avoided Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton for a whole day.
Not tomorrow.
We won't do it tomorrow. Something to think about brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Should free speech be for only those we agree with? A firebomb hit the Orange County, North Carolina Republican headquarters Sunday night. A bottle full of flammable liquid was thrown through the window, setting campaign signs, supplies, and furniture on fire. A swastika and Nazi Republicans get out of town or else was spray painted nearby the blaze. I've been to many of these campaign headquarters across the country. Most are staffed with local volunteers giving their time for a cause they believe in. I've always wondered how the Democrat Party, focused on diversity and inclusiveness, is always the first one to shut down conservative speech. Conservative speakers at universities are boycotted and protested. Donald Trump's rallies are disrupted. One was even shut down. On campuses across America, safe spaces have been created so students can be sheltered from differing views. Whatever you think about Donald Trump or the Republican Party in general, we should all hear each other out. Who knows? We might just learn something. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.